Now, after having understanding of the objects of the patience, now how exactly to meditate or practice the patience? First, how to practice patience towards those who does things that I don't like or I have aversion to. And then secondly, how to meditate on patience towards those who stop or who obstruct for me to get what I want. Now the first has four small sections. First is how to meditate on or how to practice patience on those who have given me pain or problems. And second, how to meditate patience towards those, how to practice patience towards those who have insulted me. And thirdly, how to practice patience towards those who harm my friends or my dear and near ones. Fourth, how to practice patience towards those who help my enemies. So in these four parts. Now the first one, those who have given me pain or trouble or problems, now there are three ways of working on this. First is to really be patient. That means to generate patience, means to forbear, how to forbear the sufferings, how to not overpowered by the pain or the problems and forbear it and tolerate it, how to be patient by developing forbearance and tolerance. Second, by understanding the Dharma, by understanding the nature of things, then you generate patience. And then third, that you don't mind. You create a state of mind where you become unmoved or unharmed or you change your way of reacting so that you don't hate or you don't feel bad towards those people who have done negative deeds. So in these three ways. Now the first one starts with stanza number 12, I think. And stanza number 12 is, the cause of happiness is rare, and many are the seeds of suffering. And so this is something general. I think we have to understand that in this world, in this samsara, there are so many, you know, causes of suffering. Anything, you know, lots of things that can bring suffering or problem or pain or discomfort or dissatisfaction or, you know, feel bad or things like that. So many. And there are not many causes that can bring happiness. So therefore, you know, it's bound to have lots of problems. as we usually say, you know, the life is a sequence of trying to get rid of problems. So therefore there's always problems coming. You cannot say that now I have had my problem and it's finished and now it will be all good all the time. There will be no more problem. Then you cannot say. If you say that, and then we are bound to have you know, lots of problems because you don't understand the nature of the world. So therefore, this is something very important to understand. As long as you are living in this world, as long as you are in the samsaric state of mind, there are bound to be problems and problems and problems. And so you need to, there is no kind of, you cannot say that now this is the end of all my problems and now onwards I will never have any problems. So this is something very important to understand, because otherwise, you know, you get totally overwhelmed. You know, you have one problem, you solve it, and then feel that now it's over, and then you have another problem, and after the third problem, you go mad. So therefore, this is a fact, it's a reality, that we need to accept. That's the first thing. But then sometimes the pain has some good sides also. But if I have no pain, I will never long for freedom. Therefore, O my mind, be steadfast. Having some suffering or some problem can have some positive side also. It can create an opportunity because of the sufferings that I feel of the world, of the samsara, then it creates renunciation. It will make me feel that, okay, I need to do something about it. I need to find the lasting peace and happiness, and to find what are the real causes of suffering and the real causes of problems, and to find a way out of that. So that kind of, you know, it at least makes me think, it at least makes me find a final solution. So therefore, it can help me to concentrate my mind or focus my mind on renunciation. So therefore, that could be a good thing. And so therefore, you know, when I start to have that feeling of renunciation and start to find that I need to do something about this in a more general way, more basic way, and then I need to, you know, I will learn that what are the causes of suffering, and then I will be able to improve myself and I will be able to transform myself. So therefore, it helps me to do positive things. And the pain is the cause that actually makes me a better person, makes me change my way of doing things. Actually, it causes that pain or suffering brings the conditions or the causes of ending my suffering and maybe also the suffering of others. So therefore, it is the beginning of the end. And that therefore, then if I actually work on that, if I actually do what I really find and really affected by that suffering and pain and problems, and then really kind of commit myself to work towards the end of my suffering, then, you know, it will be like the one that really clears all my negativity. So therefore, you know, the suffering has that good side. So therefore, it is not that I have suffering, so therefore it's no positive side. That's also not like that. So when I'm suffering, I have to say that, okay, there is suffering. It's a reminder that I need to do something about it in a bigger way. So I can forbear this, but I really have to think about how to bring a kind of state of being where I can be completely free from suffering, not only for myself, but also for all the sentient beings. So this, instead of becoming totally overwhelmed by the suffering, one needs to create a very strong, now I don't want, I have this suffering, I don't want suffering, I don't want suffering for all the people. Now, how to work on that? So that will make my mind steady, courageous, brave, and a kind of long-term agenda. And then there are lots of people who actually go through lots of suffering for no reason. If I go through suffering with that kind of a reason and that kind of intention, then I have a good reason or a purpose. This is the 13th. The Karna folk and those devoted to the goddess endure the meaningless austerities of being cut and burned. So why am I so timid on the path of freedom? So there are lots of people who kind of, out of ignorance, out of their own kind of beliefs and things like that, go through so much, suffering. I don't know whether this is, I don't think it is now done, but at a certain time there was a kind of a school where people used to, cut their heads or jump on spears and things like that, and then feel that because of that they will end the suffering. So through religious, some kind of religious beliefs, or just through hatred, people used to, people still do that now. People fight with each other, kill each other, and go through all sorts of pain and problems. And at the end, what does it serve? You kill and create lots of pain and suffering on the other people. And those people do the same to you and your side. And then at the end, when the war ends, nobody is the winner. So this kind of useless pain people create to each other, and that causes so much pain and problems, and for no real good reason. So therefore, if I am going through some pain or some problems, and if that is for a good reason, that that at least I'm trying to do something positive for myself and others, to try to get freedom from all the sufferings and pain. If I have that intention or understanding or on that path, I should be not timid, I should not be overwhelmed, I should say that this is a temporary thing. I have to go through this, but then, I'm actually working towards the end of this constant creating pain and problems. So therefore, I should not do something that will create more pain and more problem and more suffering for others and myself. So therefore, I should not give in to my anger and impatience and hatred and all those kind of things, but I should be more strong and brave and courageous and do more positive things. So this way I can be more patient. That's the... Then the 14th, there's nothing that does not grow light through habit of familiarity. Putting up with little cares, I'll train myself to bear with great adversity. So If you say that, you know, this is too painful, this is too difficult, I cannot be patient because, you know, I cannot do it, I get so angry, I get so upset, this is just a matter of familiarity. If you have a problem, if you go through a painful thing or a difficult thing, then if you say that, okay, I have to go through this difficult thing, whether I like it or not, so I better go through it lightly. And if you take that understanding and then, take it lightly, then it will become more light and it will become more easier. And if you say that, oh, it is so difficult, you break down with that suffering or pain or difficulty, then, you know, it will become very difficult. So it depends on how you do. So therefore, you can train, and even the difficult things can become more easy. And so therefore, you can learn to forbear difficulties and problems in a more light way. So we need to do that because sometimes, you know, difficulties will happen because there are lots of, you know, as we said, lots of causes for suffering, lots of causes for pain and problems. So I need to train in that. Don't I see that this is so with common irritations, bites and stings of snakes and flies, experiences of hunger and thirst, and painful rashes on my skin, all these kind of things, you know. The more you are sensitive to that, the more you have aversion to that, the more suffering you have because of that. And if you kind of take it more lightly, these things will become a little bit more light. So therefore, you know, heat and cold, the wind and rain, sickness, prison, beatings, I'll not fret about such things. To do so only aggravate my trouble. If I have to go through some difficult time, then the less, you know, I am have a strong aversion to that, the more lightly I take it, the more, you know, more I I take it easily, the more easy it becomes on me. The more I fear, the more I have aversion, the more I don't like it, the more I, you know, really hate it, the more painful it becomes. So therefore, you know, I need to understand this and to forbear some problems and sufferings and pain and take them lightly is very important also. That's the way to learn. And then if I can do that, I can be patient. I can be patient with if somebody or something is happening that's not so nice. I can say that, okay, there are lots of things of this kind can happen. So there's no need to be too irritated by that. And then I'm not irritated, so therefore that pain or problem does not become a big problem for me. And then I will also find a solution. Stanza number 17. There are some whose bravery increases at the sight of their own blood, while some lose all their strength and faint when it's another's blood they see. You know, this is also a matter of training, actually. Some people, you know, when they see blood, their own blood, in the like battlefield, they become even more brave and they become even more courageous and even more stronger and, you know, steady and more, more courageous. But some people, if see some blood, even not their own but others' blood, they just faint. They can't take it anymore. And why this happens? It's just a matter of, you know, reaction, how they react, how they train their mind, how familiar they become towards the difficulties and problems. So therefore, you know, one can train one's mind to be brave, to be tolerant, to be patient, to be forbearing. So therefore, these results, so 18, these results from how the mind is set in steadfastness or cowardice. And so I will scorn all injury and hardships I will disregard. When sorrows fall upon the wise, their minds should be serene and undisturbed. For in their war against defiled emotion, many are the hardships as in every battle. So therefore, you know, in the same, and this is the 19th stanza number, when sorrows fall upon the wise means the bodhisattvas, when the problems happen to the bodhisattvas, their mind becomes serene and undisturbed, because this is a war against the negativity, against the defilement. And when you are making a battle, then you are bound to have hardships, you are bound to be injured, you are bound to have difficulties or pain towards us. And also, you know, battleground is not only problem, only kind of victory, and only good things happening. So it's not a kind of a place where we have, you know, like a nice massage or spa. So therefore, you have to become more forbearing and more patient. Thinking scorn of every pain and vanquishing such foes as hatred, these, the rest is slaying what is dead already. So this is, you know, this is the real kind of battle, real work, real kind of training. Whatever pain or difficulties you have to face, you forbear it, because it is the most important thing is to vanquish the real, true enemy that will bring myself and others into the kind of endless suffering, and that's the hatred. So in order to get rid of the hatred and all negative emotions, and that I do not become a slave of them, anything, any negative things, any problems, sufferings and pain is I need to tolerate, I need to forbear. So this is, when somebody sees it like that and acts in this way, trains in this way, he is or she is a true warrior. If you just, you know, just killing another person who is weak already, who is on the process of dying already, you are not really that brave. It's like, you know, shooting a person who is already dead, because that person is dying anyway, so why kill that? So therefore, it's you are not really brave. To kill people is not brave. The real brave is to kill your own negative emotions in yourself. Then you are real brave. Suffering also has its worth. Through sorrow, pride is driven out, and pity fails for those who wander in samsara. Evil is avoided, goodness seems delightful. So therefore, as stated before, having problems, having pain, having sorrow, has some goodness, and that goodness is that when I have lots of pain and problems and sufferings and difficulties, then I can't have too much of pride, so my pride is driven out, at least. That's a good thing also. If I'm not too much puffed up with pride and, you know, all negative emotions, that's also a good thing. And secondly, when I have pain and problems, I also know the pain and problems of others, so I don't, as much as I don't like my pain and problems, I also see that others don't like it, so therefore I also feel compassion and at least sympathy to others who have pain and problems. So it can generate compassion, it can generate understanding or a strong feeling that I would like to bring the end of suffering, end of samsara to all the sentient beings. And because of that understanding, I can slowly avoid, evils, evil deeds. I can avoid doing negative things that bring suffering and pain for me and others in the long run. And then I will be more delighted or more happy to cultivate the positive sides in me, positive actions and positive emotions in me. So therefore, if you understand in the right way, and if you use it in the right way, then even some suffering and pain can bring something good for you. So it's not that everybody has to suffer, that's very nice, it's all good. That's not like that. It's not like that. It's not good. Suffering has no good. But if you understand it in the right way, if you take it in the right direction, if you use it in the proper way, then it also can be some use for you and others. It can bring some. It can bring a good opportunity also. So this, I think it's very important to understand and clarify this, because otherwise then maybe this is the source of this misunderstanding. Oh, people should suffer because that will bring them good things. That's not the idea. That's not the idea. So this is stanza number 21. And so I stop here. This is the first one. The training in forbearance of suffering. Thank you.